We weren't good enough with our money to all be bankers. So we hopped on to podcast and made Broken Anchor.
All right, welcome to the Broken Anchor podcast. It is Monday, November 9th. And I don't know, anything notable happened this week, boys? Anything at all?
Well, there's that election. You know, that kind of, you know.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, there's the president.
It is happening. I don't really know how.
Well, the thing is, like, there's going to be a lot of, like, legal stuff happening in the foreseeable future. So it's going to get kind of prolonged, but.
Is it over?
Pretty much.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, even if Trump gets his recounts, like, it's still done. It's still a done deal.
I was honestly like listening to, you know, like I listen to a million podcasts a week, and like it seems like either people say like we're either going to make it very clear that we're an escape from what's going on, or we're going to like really attack it head on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know, like everybody in the country is talking about it or has talked about it this week. So I feel like you can't really avoid it. But mm-hmm. Like
Dave Chappelle, like talked about it best when he was on SNL. Like, did you guys see that?
Yeah. SNL last night was great.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the monologue?
Yeah. The monologue.
How was it? I didn't actually watch the video.
It was pretty, hold on. Let me see what the name of his other thing was.
I heard it was pretty on the nose. Like he went at people.
Yeah, he really did. What was his thing in Beaver Creek? His show in Beaver Creek that he did that one time?
You mean the shows he's been doing in Yellow Springs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to say. No, he did the one special in Beaver Creek, right?
He did one in Beaver Creek, yeah.
Yeah, he did
the one that
was... And what was it called? The one about George Floyd. He did that one of you.
No, that was in Yellow Springs.
No, it wasn't. All it was Beaver Creek.
No, it was not.
No?
I'm pretty sure I read an article that said it was in Beaver Creek.
Are you sure?
I'm about 95% sure.
Are you sure? I'm like looking it up right now. It was shot on June 6th in Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Boom.
At least the one that went on YouTube, like the Netflix special one.
Yeah.
That one was in Beaver Creek. Because they specifically said somewhere in Beaver Creek, Ohio in the thing.
Right.
True.
So, yeah. But anyways, it was like a lot of like that again. Just this time there wasn't a special. It was just 16 minutes, just the stage to himself, and he could just talk about whatever he wanted. And he addressed a lot of things.
Right. Well, because, like, it doesn't, like, the 8 minute 40, the one about George Floyd.
846.
Yeah, 846. It wasn't really comedy.
It's not supposed to be.
Right. It was just, like, him speaking.
Yeah. Which was SNL, kind of. Like, the first... He started off very serious, threw a couple, like, jokes in the middle, but then, like, he's still addressing a lot of serious stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's what people are kind of saying about Chappelle, is that he's going towards more of, like, he's just becoming, like, a public speaker instead of...
I mean, I feel like out of all celebrities, he is the most, like, down-to-earth one, where instead of, like, just saying, hey, let's all sing Imagine and put it on YouTube and make people feel better... He's actually, like, talking about issues and, like, addressing how we can make it better. Rather than just saying, life sucks. Here's me singing Imagine. You know. Like, he's super real about it.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what it's like to be just a regular person.
Right. I don't know. The whole situation was interesting. Because I know that he hosted SNL, like, the day after... Or the week after Trump got elected in 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I don't know, man. This whole week's been a roller coaster. I drove up to Youngstown from Cincinnati to vote.
Look at you.
So that was an interesting day. But
I think Ben's shirt says the best on who should be elected, right? And we're going to keep talking about elections here.
Yeah. But more, I guess, like more Broken Anchor related. We have a little bit of an announcement.
Yeah. So this is my final podcast.
Yeah. This is your final podcast. I know.
A lot of things going on. Gotta deal with, you know, life. So you gotta weigh the scales. Obviously, you know, life comes first.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you mean, Broken Anchor should be your life? What in the world, Dom?
Broken Anchor is the last thing.
But
from the perspective, before I even hopped on this call, I ate dinner. Ooh. I'm sorry, breakfast, because this is obviously Monday morning.
Groundbreaking news. Groundbreaking news. Yeah. Dom eats dinner towards the end of every day. I didn't know that people did that.
Right? I might have to write a blog about that tomorrow.
Why?
No. Listen, I mean, we might have to, but so I want to make it clear. No, I don't know if this is as necessary as maybe I'm thinking about it, but like there's no issues or anything.
Yeah, no, it's literally just me just not having time because I have to deal with a lot of things right now.
Right.
And,
you know, because I remember, what'd you say?
Like I said, like life stuff comes first, you know?
Yeah. I went back and listened to, I think, our first ever episode that we did together. And there was a part where we said, like, what's going to be like Kobe and Shaq had all that drama when they broke up. Like Jordan and Pippa got mad at each other all the time. What's going to be like the thing that like breaks us up or whatever, like whose podcast is it or whatever it's going to be. And it was nothing at all.
I'm waiting for Don to write a memoir or something where he just absolutely goes in on us for no reason with like stuff that's not even true.
Right. Our first hit piece that people write against the Broken Anchor is going to be by Dom.
It's going to be talking about like Joe's Nigerian lover that no one knows about. And runs like an international like music radio thing in like Latvia. Just random things that nobody knows about. What? Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that, but yeah, dude, it's, I think, you know, speaking on, I mean, I don't want to, we're going to miss you, man. I think this is going to be things are going to, I think the podcast is going to change like immensely. I think, Ben, would you say that's about true?
Yeah, I can guarantee we're going to be talking a lot more about sports again.
I don't like that much. Like we're not gonna be as sports as like Roblob, I don't think.
No, but I'm also very surprised you haven't mentioned Notre Dame winning yet. I thought that was for sure gonna be one of the first things that you threw in there.
I thought you were gonna mention.
You have no idea how much personal strength it has taken for me to sit here and not mention it.
Because you're sitting there wearing a shirt, like
look at it. Stare at it. Hey, stare at the shirt.
You know what that stands for?
What?
Guess who cares? ND, not Dom.
Hey, listen. Last night, this is not even like, dude. I almost cried. I almost cried last night.
No, you were freaking out.
Dude, I tweeted this morning. I still don't. I'm like 65% sure that this is actually, it's actually still Friday night and I'm dreaming right now. And I will wake up. I mean,
too bad their entire team is going to get COVID.
Yeah, that's a bad look.
Mm.
Dom, did you see that?
I heard about it.
Like, how do you let fans onto the field in that situation?
That's the thing, right? Like, I get the hype. Yeah. Like, in the moment, you're like, yeah, let's celebrate. But, like, at the same time, we're kind of in the middle of a pandemic.
The tough thing about it, too, is that, like, this was a program-defining win. Like, Brian Kelly had never beaten a top-five team in the country. Like, there's always, like, this monkey on Notre Dame's back. Like, they can't win the big game and all this kind of stuff. They finally did it. But what everyone's tweeting about is why everybody's storming the field and, like, the coronavirus and all this kind of stuff.
Well, it's like when the Dodgers won the World Series, like, Josh Turner coming back out on the field. Like, it's the same exact situation.
That's a little different, though, because Josh Turner played in the game.
But still, the headline after the game was he got pulled for having COVID and then went back out on the field to celebrate with his teammates.
Yeah.
So, like, it's – there's a they're bigger headline other than, oh, Notre Dame beat the number one team in the country. But, you know, right. Their fans rushed the field and the players celebrated with them. Not a good look.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like
the numbers have, like, increased significantly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, today we had another brand-new record-breaking day with COVID cases.
I think every single day for, like, the last 2 weeks has been, like, a record-breaking day.
Yeah, it has been. It's, like, not good because it just keeps climbing.
Yeah.
What is, like, the reasoning behind that? Like, what is going on?
People just aren't taking it serious?
I'm assuming that and, like, the fact that the elections just happened, people have been outside doing things, not only, like, going to the polls, but also, like, you know, rallying, having get-togethers, you know, trying to support their candidate.
Right.
Like, large gatherings like that, that's just going to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you had Halloween, so Halloween. People probably got Halloween together for that.
Changes some things, yeah.
But I think even before that, even that week before, cases were rising and like we were hitting like new record-breaking highs.
Right. And
also, like, I'm curious about how Biden is actually going to address this, because, like, clearly he listens to science.
But the scary thing is we still have 2 months,
right,
before, like, he actually can do anything.
Right. And that's if things go smoothly.
Well, so January 21st or whatever, I'm pretty sure that's the inauguration date. Trump is not going to be president anymore. Now, whether he walks out gracefully,
I was going to say,
he has to be physically removed by Secret Service, that's still to be determined. But
will they actually, could you imagine, like, a scene where the Secret Service is physically dragging him out of the White House?
Yes. Yes, I can.
I can. But I don't think Trump will let that, like, look happen for him. Because that's not a good look.
How many people do you think at this point have sat him down at this point and said, like, hey, man, you lost. Like, just
– so
his campaign has been not a good look, Ben.
Yeah, true. But I don't think – so from my understanding, based on what I've been watching, closely around him, they're still, like, reassuring him that there's a chance. But, like, privately, they're like, yeah, this is, like, not looking good.
So to his face, they're saying, like, dude, you got it. You're staying in. And then they, like, go talk to their friends. They're like, this dude's dead.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only state that he might have a chance in is, like, Georgia, which doesn't even matter.
No.
Like, I mean, I think I saw something too where Republicans, like, more prominent Republicans were today were like, all right, it's been however many days now since the election. We need some, like, hard facts here that, yeah, like, something has actually happened. Like, why haven't they come out with anything yet saying, like, okay, this is what we're thinking's happened.
Right.
It's just him tweeting a bunch of nonsense and
he's trying to disenfranchise all the voters and doing that just upon the world stage makes America look so bad. Mm-hmm. If you're the president and you're just saying that the elections aren't worth a damn, like, he's been doing that his entire, like, term in office. The world doesn't like us. Like, yeah, they really don't like us.
I don't think the world's ever really, really liked us. And they're in the world's defense.
Well, it hasn't gotten any better over the last 4 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Look at this. It's a lot better than we had him as president.
But I don't know. My favorite tweet for him over the last like couple days is like, we've gotten like 70 million legal votes.
Yeah.
Like what? How do you
legal
know?
Legal votes?
Legal. Yes.
What does that mean?
He is assuming that every single vote that he had got. So his whole case is that, you know, like ballots shouldn't be counted after they've been after like after election day, like anything that comes in after. Cause like, I think it might've been in Pennsylvania or some of these states you have until as long as you're like absentee ballots postmarked the date of the election, it can get there within like a few days or a week or something and still count as a valid vote.
Bro, how have, this may be a dumb question and maybe like poli sci major Dom can answer this for me. How is the presidential election, like the most important election in America,
mm-hmm.
how have we not figured out online voting?
Online voting is, okay, let me just, one word here for you. Cybersecurity.
Right, it's so super- I've heard that rule. I've heard that thing. But, like, you're telling me that we can't, like, recruit, like, the A-team of, like, whatever software engineer we need to get and, like,
think about this.
Firewall and say no one's getting in here for the next 3 days.
Think about it like this, though. Like, you could literally just have some kid make up a social security number and then odds are he's eventually going to hit something. He gets a vote, even if he's not of age or even not from here.
Yeah, could you imagine your grandma or grandpa trying to online vote, Joe?
Hey, I'm not a logistics guy. I'm just an ideas guy, all right? There has to be a way that I could just log on.
No, because I don't even know how they would make it to where you could for sure verify your stuff. Because, like, all you could do, like, what if you're, like, a caregiver for somebody or whatever, and, like, or, like, whatever, and then you have their social security number. All you have to do is log on, put in all their info or whatever, and then you can vote for whoever. They're like, oh, you vote for whoever. Like, yeah. Oh, vote for Trump, but then you're like, nah, I'm going to vote for Biden instead.
Right, like, imagine if a team of nurses in a nursing home just said, hey, look at all these people in this house, in this nursing home. We can easily just take all their information and just vote for whoever we want.
Yeah, if you want to talk about voter fraud, online voting would for sure have some major issues.
And with the tampering, with the election tampering with Russia in the last election, it'd be even easier if it was all online.
Yeah.
Like, and easier. But, I mean, that's the thing. So, like, every state has their own laws about how the votes are counted and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's, like, a big issue for, like, decades. And it still hasn't been resolved.
Yeah.
I do think that's stupid that each state is different in how they go about counting their votes.
It should be like, one systematic thing that the entire nation abides by. And yet it's not.
Everybody that I heard that I was watching was like, oh, like we have to let the states go through the process. Like this is the democratic thing and like all this kind of stuff. I'm like, but why? Like, it's the same thing with college football. Like, why are we letting the conferences, individual conferences decide how to do things? Like, why don't we just have one system to go by?
Because it makes too much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes too much sense to do it that way.
It's like
and the thing too, the people who support it are always just like, well, it's tradition. This is just how it's been, you know? Like, who are we to, like, go against the people who created America?
Have you heard what Rogan said about, like, if Thomas Jefferson were to come to present day, what he would say?
Oh, God, no.
Rogan was like, if Thomas Jefferson were to come into present day, his first sentence would be, you guys didn't write any new shit? I wrote that with a feather, dude. I wrote that with a feather by a candle. I didn't even have a light bulb. Dude.
Yeah, that's how it is, though. It's difficult to make big changes like that.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, look at how difficult this election was. Still is. It's just difficult making decisions on this big of a scale.
Yeah, man, I don't know. The whole week was just, like, so I tweeted this out, I think, the day of the election. Like, put in your votes. That's all important. That's all great. But once the election is over and it's, you know, the votes are counted, the results are in, like, if you're, like, half the country is going to be pissed off no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Mm-hmm. If you go out and, like, if you go out and protest of what happened after the election's done, like, you can't change the results after they're done, correct? So if there's nothing you can do to change...
Trump would beg to differ.
Yeah, Trump...
Okay. After the election it has been decided and the country has said, you're our president.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like, if you go and protest, that's, like, that means that you're wanting to, like, give awareness to a problem, right? But it's a problem that can't be changed. You know what I mean?
At least another 4 years, yeah.
Right. So, like, I feel like if your side loses, you should, instead of go out and protest, like, go figure out ways to make your situation better over the next 4 years instead of saying, like, that really sucked that we lost. You know what I mean?
And a lot of the time, like, people who protest and are, like, rally and stuff, they really don't know what they voted for or why they voted for them, except for, like, just things they took at face value, you know?
Well, and by the way, like, I get 100% that, like, this affects people's, like, everyday lives, and this is a big deal, and this is, you know, this is huge and all that stuff. I get that 100%.
Mm.
So I'm not belittling, like, how important of a situation this is. Mm-hmm. I want to make that clear.
Right. But
after the door is closed on that situation, going and talking about how unfortunate that situation is doesn't seem like the most efficient way to go about things.
It's because people just seem so polarized about what's happening that they lose the sense of the fact that we're all still Americans and we're still in this together. Like, they try to, like, polarize it so far that it's like black people versus white people, Democrats versus Republicans. Like, who's, like, it's dumb. It's just honestly super dumb. Because at the end of the day, all this arguing gets nothing done. It can be seen, like, within Senate, House of Representatives, like, they argue about things so often that whatever the president, the person that the people picked, like, wants to get something done, he can't. You know? So that's, like, another thing that just hinders us as a nation. It's just that there's no sense of unity. And the fact that we don't strive for anything together. It's always one versus something else. And they can't just go all in together and just get things done. And so it's just a big issue.
I think the idea of political parties is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, and why can't we just find a candidate that's, like, good for everyone? Like, you know, like, somebody that has both point of views. Like, why do we have to have, oh, he's either a Democrat or a Republican? Mm-hmm. Like,
and that's the reason why it's super hard for independents to even, like, get votes, is because they never make it to the national, like, debates. And the reason is that you can't participate in a debate unless you have at least 15% of the popular vote in your favor. Right. Like, that. Right. So, like, if 48% is Republican and 48% is Democrat, the last 2% is not nearly enough to get you onto that stage.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, in the past, like, few decades, if a third party were to make it to these national debates and actually, like, spoke their mind on issues, a lot of people would be like, oh, that guy makes a lot of sense. Like, maybe I should vote for him. At least it gives them, like, another option.
I just don't, I don't get the whole notion that, like, I don't know. It seems like if you vote for Trump, you're automatically a racist, homophobe, everything. And then if you vote for Biden, mm-hmm. you're automatically, like, a liberal snowflake, like, you know.
No, you're a socialist.
Yeah, you're saying. Socialist. Yeah, yeah. So
I've seen a lot of angry people.
Yeah. And by the way, like, this is not, this doesn't go, like, this whole, this level of divisiveness, honestly, is, like, it doesn't go back that far. Because if you look at,
right.
if you look, like, if you, like, if, I mean, there are a bunch of clips of, like, like McCain and Obama's speeches that they gave at their things. They were like, listen, it, like, yeah, I mean, I want to win the presidency, but both, like, the other guy is a respectable person. I mean, like, he could run the country.
It's literally because of Trump.
It is because of Trump. Like, he's the one who, like, brainwashed Americans to thinking, hey, like, I'm fit for this position. I can blow up Twitter. And he's the only president to ever use his Twitter like that.
Like, it's scary because he's created, like, a cult-like following.
Yes.
In 4 years. Like, that is insane. Like, I'm not sure I've ever seen, like, well, you haven't seen any support where, you know, people are, you know, like, these Trump train, like, things where they're shutting down highways, where they have all these flags and banners and all this stuff, like, all these yard signs, like, it's crazy what he has been able to do. And you literally have people risking their lives in the middle of a pandemic to just go see him talk.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane.
And that's the crazy part, too, because they even said it during election night. Like, this election wasn't about ideologies at all. It was literally about personality.
Yeah.
Well, I think that goes back to Obama, though, too, because Obama, like, if you go look back at Obama's politics, it's not as universally liked. Like, it's not as liked as when he walked in a room and said, hey, this is what we're doing. He left the room and people felt like without even thinking like content of what he was saying, you looked at him and you're like, oh, like, that's the guy who's running the country. Of course. Like, he looked the part. You know what I mean?
Like, you have to carry yourself a certain way.
Right.
And Trump never did to begin with. Like, you would have thought that in the beginning, like, he would have started taking things a bit more seriously, stopped all, like, his random tweets that are just blasphemous, as Stephen A. Smith would say. You know, just...
Yeah.
He accomplished a bit, and he accomplished a lot of what he said he would accomplish. We can give that to him.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he's changed America to the point where Americans don't even, like, treat each other like Americans. It's so divided. It's literally like, hey, I'm American, I'm Republican, you're socialist, get out of America. And it's become like that, which is crazy.
Right.
And it never should have.
But I think, like, though, when you say, like, if, like, people just think that all Democrats are socialists, like, it's equally... If you're a Republican, you're automatically homophobe, racist, like,
right, exactly. That's the thing, right?
And by the way, I'm not saying like I side with either. I'm just saying like that's the reality of things, you know?
Right. Because, like, personally, I check a lot of boxes in both parties.
I think most people do.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. I think there's a majority.
And that's why.
Like, you can look at both parties and say, yeah, that's a pretty good point. Or, like,
That's why I think we rely more on the personality aspect of it then.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, yeah, I like him, not him. Like,
the other reason, I think, is that growing up, it's always been the same. It's like your parents are like, hey, this is what we are. This is who we vote for.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, from an early age, you get that implanted, like, hey, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. Like, this is what we do. This is what we believe in. You have that instilled in you from the get-go without having the opportunity to, like, make that decision yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, a lot of people just blindly vote for one side.
Right. Yeah. And, what's crazy about this, too, is that for anyone listening to this podcast, like me talking right now, I feel like, if I say anything that, like, leans one side or the other, like, half the people listening to this podcast are going to hate us and never listen to us again. And that sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
So that, like, you know, I think there's room for, like, a rational adult conversation where if I say something that you disagree with, like,
we talk about it.
But it doesn't change the relationship. It doesn't change Like, I can still, like, Dom, if you went and said, like, so let's say Dom went and voted for Trump and I voted for Biden. I, like, that does not make Dom a, like, a homophobic person. Like, that, mm-hmm. It doesn't make me, like, a liberal socialist person. It, like, I don't know. The whole thing, the identity politics thing is what bugs me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not going to change unless something huge happens.
Well, but I think it might change a little bit with Biden, is because I think we'll get a little bit more of like a regular politician, and then like not as many people are going to be talking about politics.
I don't know. The thing I'm interested to see is Trump has, I guess, already been telling his staffers that if he loses this election, he's going to run again in 2024.
Hmm.
So,
which, I mean, he is actually within his rights to do so.
He is. But it's scary because, like, we could have 4 years of, you know, rebuilding relationships, whatever, mm-hmm. and then everything, he comes back in, and then it's just back to how it was.
But here's the thing, though, right? He'll need to beat out another, like, actual politician to get to that point. Like, the Republican Party's not just going to automatically say, hey, this is who we want.
Yeah, but...
Well, so But I think, okay. I'm going to say this. I think Trump actually helped in some ways for the Republican Party, because I think the one positive thing you can really take from this whole Trump saga is that people want, like, authenticity and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that correct?
Because that was his whole platform, like, when he first ran.
Right.
Is that he's, like, from the people. He's a normal guy, like, all this right. stuff.
So I think, like, presidential candidates that we'll see going forward will have a little bit of that, which I appreciate. Because it's not just another, like, politician who's been in Washington for
mm-hmm.
50 years, you know?
Right.
Does that make sense?
But I feel like that opens, one person who had a really good job of doing it was Andrew Yang.
Yeah.
With his business background, breaking into it.
Yeah,
right.
Not even just, you know, just being a normal guy, not as extravagant as Trump, but he's actually, like, coming to the table with ideas on how he wants to change this country.
Right.
Which I think if he, so now that we've had this whole pandemic with getting, you know, the stimulus check.
Universal income in the pandemic would have been very popular.
So if.
That'd be great.
So now if Andrew Yang decides to run I guess he's considered a Democrat. So, but whenever he decides to run again, if he decides to run again, his whole idea of his freedom dividend of $1,200 a month and income from the government, I think would be a huge, like, helper for him to, you know, maybe get elected. But who knows?
I don't know, man. There were, listen, I think most people who looked at what was going on, who were at least a little bit plugged in, I think saw both sides politically wise, take image out of it, because, you know, Biden has his issues with that too. I don't know. Like, it's, I'm interested to see how people handle it moving forward. But yeah, I think
one thing that really needs to change is we need to get younger people running for president.
Yeah, dude.
The youngest, like, you're allowed to run is 40 years old.
35, I thought.
35, yeah. Yeah, poli-sci major. Yeah, we know about politics. Yeah, Ben and I are plugged in.
I thought it was for something else. I thought it was 40.
No, pretty sure 35.
35. Because Buttigieg is like 37, right?
Who?
Booty Juice?
Oh, him?
Yeah. Wait a minute. How did you know what I was talking about when I said booty juice? But when I said Buttigieg, you said, wait, who is that?
Yeah, because we talked about that here on the podcast.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, well, shit.
Like a long time ago.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah. 35.
Got him.
Then who was it? It was Kennedy, right? He was the youngest one at like 40 something, like 42 or younger.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that's why like I kept on getting the 40 stuck in my head. Like 40 was the cutoff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know, man. The whole situation was interesting. We'll see how it pans out, but interesting stuff. But the other thing that that I wanted to bring up in the podcast, which is a little bit more Broken Anchor related, I think, is we had a little bit of a tussle on Monday. Not really a tussle. I texted you guys, and that didn't really go over very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Not, it definitely did not go over well.
I was like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah. Tussle. I'm like, who, like, what?
Like, what happened? What am I
doing? No, but let's get into it. Are you guys okay with getting into it?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Dom could say whatever the hell he wants. This is his last podcast.
I have my memoirs. What do you mean?
True.
I can 100% tell my side of the story in my memoirs.
Yeah, Dom's gonna go run the fixed anchor, and then he's gonna be
yeah.
But yeah, so essentially what happened was, yeah, so we meet every Monday to go over like basic stuff of like who's posting when and like who's putting out blogs on what day and stuff like that, and. You guys weren't really that plugged into the meeting. Is that safe to say?
I was listening to every single thing that was being said.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why I said, when you're like, oh, does somebody want to post on Thursday?
And he was like the first to say something.
I was like, oh yeah. Like I could probably like get something out on Thursday.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
It's just, so that-
I was, just cause I didn't have my camera on did not mean I was not listening.
Okay. Right. Yeah, so you both didn't have your cameras on and you weren't being very vocal, which is what, like...
Oh, you know I was jumping in. I commented on a lot of things in that meeting.
But what no, did we didn't... But, there's nothing for us to be vocal about. You're just reading us numbers and basically asking other people when they're going to post.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's nothing for us to say.
Really not. Yeah. Unless you, like, gave us the numbers to, like, talk about, then, like, yeah, I'll, like, turn my camera up to talk about it. But, like... I was eating dinner. I don't want you guys to see me munching down.
Yeah. It was one of those things where, like, I sent the text because I was frustrated, as yeah. you know, as you guys probably put together.
Obviously.
Yeah. And like I just thought like I didn't really think anything past like, oh, they're gonna be like frustrated about this. Like, I don't know why it just didn't really, I just didn't really think about that. So I sent the text and I like immediately, I was like, okay, well, at least I said it. And then we'll move on.
Yeah.
And then you guys texted back. We were like, what in the fuck was that?
No,
and
I hit you back with a straight K.
Yeah. Just, okay. Like, so that was
K.
Dude. Okay. That was the one part of the conversation where I feel like I had a point.
What?
Cause you responded with an LOL K. And I said, okay, can we talk like we're not 12 years old?
You like got mad at us for no reason. That was my whole issue. You got mad at us. You're like, let's show a little bit of leadership next time. Like,
it wasn't no.
You are our leader. Like, what?
The whole time too, you're just saying, let me think here. What are we gonna get to next? Here we go. How's that good leadership?
Like, there was nothing in that, like, in our meeting where I had to have a decisive, like, point of view on anything that was happening.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
I think just in my head I was looking for a little bit more, like, of you guys to, like, talk a little bit more. That was it.
Literally, they're just like, hey, how's everyone doing? All right, cool. We had a pretty good week. Here's the numbers. Here's the schedule. Everyone cool with that? Okay, cool. See that? That took less than a minute. You stretched that out over 30 minutes.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, that's all fair. Like, that's 100% fair. And I think I need to be much better at running that meeting and, like, keeping you guys in the loop before that meeting starts so that you guys then can be more vocal in it. But, yeah, it was one of those things where I put business before, like, the fact that we're just friends doing this for some reason. And, like, I need to do a much better job of, like, reminding myself that this is, like, a long process and we gradually get into the business aspect of it. Like,
because we're not a business in the slightest at the moment.
No.
Seriously, as soon as you start paying people, yeah. Then you start treating it like a business.
Yeah. By the way, I think people still think that we pay Roblox. So I want to keep that. I want to keep that narrative going. Because I think people still think that we pay Roblox.
What do you mean?
Yeah, people probably think that we, like, have money for some reason.
Yeah, because we bought out Roblox. What do you mean? Yeah.
When we don't have any money whatsoever.
You know what? But that technically is true. Because we do, like, intellectual property-wise.
See, Ben's right. Because we don't have money. But the Broken Anchor has money.
Ah.
Because we bought out Roblox, obviously.
Yeah. We have a bunch of secret investors to be named at a later date.
Just like the angel investors, like from Ozark.
Yeah. Yeah, emphasis on to be named at a later date.
Like a way later date.
So, yeah. Like, if you want to invest to get your name out there, yeah, let us know.
Yeah. But it was definitely one of those things where I sent the text. And then when you guys responded, I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably.
Yeah, because you said, like, let's, like, whatever you said about, like, not responding like a 12-year-old or whatever.
Yeah.
So then I immediately called
you. I know, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck's your problem?
Dude, like, yeah. He called me and he called me in his first words, like, what the fuck, man? Like,
I'm like, what? Why is this such a big deal? Like, why are your panties in a bunch right now?
That's an underrated saying, by the way. People need to say that more, I think. But yeah, I think you guys already know. Like, I apologize for how that came across and how that happened. But so that was an interesting day. But then, when Dom said that he was leaving, mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was because of that. And then he called me the next day. He was like, Dom's, oh yeah, part. It was just coincidentally at, like, it was at enough, like, both situations were separate things
and independent of each other, but I was like, yeah, why not?
It was really poor timing on Dom's part.
Dude, I know that was the one thing where Dom, like, you, that's where you messed up there.
I'm like, yeah, that was a pretty good time.
It was actually the worst possible time, actually.
Hey, it worked out, you know?
Yeah, it worked out.
Exactly.
Yeah, worked out completely fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. But interesting day. But I'm glad we could, glad we could laugh that off. Because that was a tough moment for me. Anyway, what else is going on? Dom, did you buy anything on Amazon that we need to know about?
As of late, let me think. No, but I did go to the store, and do you guys know about those Airwick plugins? Like, in the wall? Like a scented air thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I know about those things. Yeah. Emily told me about those.
So that's that. There's that. No, they don't know about that. I don't know about that.
What don't we know about there, Dominic?
You know what an onigiri is?
Wait, who's wearing what kind of gear?
Who's onigiri? Yuko Ono?
Yeah, Yuko Ono. Yuko. Yep. Yeah, sure. No, wait,
I think your girlfriend in the back knows what I just said, and you don't know what I just said.
No clue.
Do you know who Yoko Ono is?
You mean Yoko Ono, bitch?
Oh, dumb bitch.
Whatever, same diff. It was like 100 years ago.
Yeah, Yoko Ono, the wife of Elton John.
Nope. No.
Right?
It was, it was John Lennon. John Lennon from the Beatles.
I just said from the Beatles.
You said Elton John from the Beatles.
No, I said Elton John. And then I was like, no, it was one of the guys from the Beatles. And you said, no, it was John Lennon from the Beatles. But anyways, it's a rice ball press. So that when you like make Japanese rice balls, because you put, they're usually like a square and there's like, it's filled with stuff.
Okay, explain this to me. Because, so rice balls are quite large, yes?
They're about this big.
So does anything go inside the rice ball?
Yeah, in the middle.
But yeah, what's
literally what he just said, Joe.
No, but what goes inside of it?
Sometimes fish, sometimes other types of meat. I mean, sometimes you just have stuff riddled throughout the rice that you press together.
My ADD medication is not fully kicked in right now, so you guys are going to have to cut me a break with the whole listening part.
Let me just tell you this, Joe. Asians don't understand the concept of sandwiches, so we made our own rice version of it. So you
Minute. I didn't even think about that. Asians don't eat sandwiches.
Not really, no.
Dude.
Name an Asian sandwich.
There's no Asian sandwiches.
I don't eat Vietnamese.
I don't care about the Vietnamese. That's not real. No. Asians don't eat sandwiches. With bread?
Yes.
No, it's not.
They kind of have wraps. Sushi is kind of wraps. Yeah?
Yeah, they use the seaweed to envelop the rice. Because it's always
just... The Asians don't know about just regular bread.
No.
Wow.
No. If you end up moving to Japan, you need to bring over like a roll of like Wonder Bread and show these people what they're doing.
They know bread, they just don't know sandwiches with the bread.
So they don't understand that you can put things in the middle of two pieces of bread.
Let me tell you, the Japanese, their bread, top notch.
By the way, this is what we're going to title the episode. And then when we get into like the 35-minute political discussion that we had, we're going to title the episode, The Asians Don't Know About Bread. And then we're going to get into a political discussion.
Jeez.
Like, I don't think I've ever had an Asian sandwich.
They don't exist.
All right. Let's see here. I'm going to search Asian sandwiches.
Watch, like, the Reuben was just low-key invented in Japan or something.
Asian sandwiches. First thing that comes up, 10 most popular Asian sandwiches and wraps.
Something you can read.
Oh, yep. I'm not even going to try.
Try it. No, you got to try it.
No. Nope.
You got to try it.
Nope.
You have to try it.
Well, this one's French. Okay, this one is... Oh, this is from Singapore. It looks like really burnt.
Yeah, it's the number one is whatever, however your girlfriend said the Vietnamese one.
So there's this thing in China called the donkey burger.
Dude, I'm pretty sure that's like Guy Fieri's thing.
But I mean, it looks like a Philly cheesesteak, to be quite honest with you. The donkey burger is a unique Chinese hamburger that is especially popular in Baoding and Heijiang.
By the way, I forgot to tell you guys this. I heard someone say that a Philly cheesesteak is not a sandwich, and I thought that was the dumbest thing the other day. I wanted to tell you guys that.
What'd they say it was?
Yeah.
They said it was its own category of food.
Even if you say it's a sub, it's still a sandwich.
Right. Yeah. So the official wording they said was like, you know how a brownie is its own thing? It's not like a cookie or a cake. Well, a Philly cheesesteak is its own thing. To which I lost 5 brain cells listening to that, and then I just lost 5 more saying it again.
You pick through that logic, a brownie is different from a cookie and a cake because of its texture and the just how it is.
I don't know how anybody... There's a contingent of people who thinks that a brownie is a form of cookie. And I don't know how any of those people function in life.
I would consider it more a cake.
Yeah. I'd say a thicker
cake. It's a anything. Thick cake.
Like real thick.
It's a thick cake.
Super thick. But, let's just go back a little
more. What was the thing we were talking about? I guess it's like... On Dom's last podcast, we can look back a little. What was the thing we were talking about? Where I think it was the podcast Ben missed, and me and you just said the word "thick" like 8 times, dude, like just in a row.
Oh, I genuinely don't know. That was when Ben was sick and dying.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Oh, that was when we were talking about Chicago pizza, and we called it "thick," and we just kept saying "thick" like 8 times. Yeah.
And then Larry just roasted us immediately after.
Larry got into us that day.
Old man Larry was like, you guys know nothing about Chicago.
Old man Larry was not happy about that at all.
Rocking chair just like with a shotgun just ready. Like, y'all two better just go back to where you came.
Dude, I am interested to see. Speaking of old man Larry, I'm interested to see if we ever bring on another guy from Chicago and then he goes and he meets Larry. I'm interested to see how that relationship would go. Like just a stereotypical Chicago guy goes and meets Larry. Like Larry's a different breed.
He is a different breed.
He's a different breed. In the best.
All right. So I'm going to bring up sports here. We have rarely ever talked about golf, other than us playing golf. But this week is the Masters.
Ooh.
That's a big deal.
Big deal. Who are you picking?
Hear me out.
Let me look at who's participating. I'm sorry.
I was going to make Dom just predict it just going cold. Just...
I'm just going to say that Tiger Woods gets another jacket. I don't know.
Oh, so a repeat.
So here's that would be
my take. When he got his jacket, career defining.
Here's my take. You ready, for this? You ready for this, Ben?
Tiger's probably not going to be a take at all.
Tiger's had a little bit of an off year. Yes? Is that fair to say?
Yes.
He hasn't won a ton of things.
Is that correct? He has not won.
Okay. All right.
So yes,
he's been biding his time, Ben. He's been getting ready to flip the switch. He's been practicing. He's been in secret. He's been just hitting a million balls a day. He's been getting after it. The spinal fusion surgery, like the spine's never felt better. He's been just in secret, and then he goes out and then just like half-asses the tournament, but now he's coming to Augusta. He's coming to Augusta. In the middle of November, we got a bunch of chaos going on in 2020. No one knows what's going on. The Masters are being played in the middle of November for no reason. There's just ridiculous things going on. Tiger's going to get a green jacket. I actually believe he'll be in contention.
So you legitimately believe that Tiger Woods wins the Masters?
I think he'll be in contention on Sunday. Like, I think we're going to get red. I think we're going to get the mock turtle. We're going to get Sunday Tiger. I think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it was anywhere other than the Masters, I would disagree with you because Tiger has been playing terrible golf.
Hey, I know. Man, it's time to come back. It's the comeback. It's you know, it's clutch time. He's gonna pull through here.
Big time moments need big time players.
I think he will. He's at least going to make the cut now because honestly making the cut at this point is a victory in its own.
Has he ever missed the cut at Augusta, by the way?
I'm sure he has. Like in the last couple of years. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I thought I saw something the other day. He's never missed a cut at Augusta. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe not. I don't know. But here's my prediction. The winner is going to be between Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, and Bryson DeChambeau. I am fully prepared to watch Bryson DeChambeau dismantle Augusta National with his 48-inch driver driving the ball like 800 million yards.
So that's Dom. I know you don't pay attention to a lot of golf. Bryson DeChambeau, you would watch Bryson DeChambeau play golf and be genuinely entertained for the entire day.
I've seen him.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's a specimen.
How is he not on steroids, by the way?
I who's saying he isn't?
Because the drug tests for the PGA are just non-existent.
Hey, yeah, no, actually they are because
tests of the PGA.
Hey, drug tests are a thing on the PGA Tour because that got Dustin Johnson in a little bit of trouble back like 2010 or something.
Well, yeah, with the little cocaine action,
little
blow action for Dustin.
What about like you got good old Phil Mickelson over here, just shooting some insulin before the match? And
all right, Phil Mickelson is something in his own right.
Yeah.
Dude will go out on the senior tour, absolutely tear it up. He's 2-for-2 on the senior tour. He has won both of his starts on the senior tour. Comes back on the PGA Tour 9-over through 2 days. Like, plays terrible golf.
All right, I'm going to just name my top five right here, right now, all right?
You're giving us five names?
Five names.
Great. Okay, all right, let's see who we got.
Wait, before he gives the five names, what are the chances that he just Googled golfers and these are the first five names that he's seeing?
No, these are people who are actually participating.
Okay, all right,
okay.
Here we go.
All right.
So we're going to go with Brooks Koepka, because, you know, he's got a lot of numbers on this list here that I'm looking at.
Okay.
Then we're going to go with Jazz Janewatanamadan.
Okay.
Nailed it. Is that the quarterback for Clemson? I think that's Clemson's quarterback.
That's my number two.
Okay.
My number three, we're going to go with Louis Oosthuizen.
You know what? That's not the worst butchering I've ever heard of it, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Let me look at how many people we need to make a FanDuel lineup, and I will make a FanDuel lineup this week of whoever Dom says, as long as it is within budget. Because like how they do, like each player is assigned a
certain numerical value,
a number. Let me see. I don't know if I think you need six players. So give me a list of six.
Give us how many has he given? He's given four more.
Yeah. No, he's given us three. So we have Brooks Koepka, Jazz whatever. Yeah. Jazz Wakanda forever. Louis Oosthuizen.
Then we're gonna go with Mr. Xander Schauffele.
Xander Schauffele, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. These aren't horrible picks, by the way.
I know they're not, because I'm going by like their numbers.
I can tell you that you're going to need to pick some people lower down on that list because
high up there.
The next one we're going to go with Vijay Singh.
Oh, God.
Vijay?
Vijay Singh, the dude who's like old as dirt that – probably like we'll shoot a 95.
Hey, you saying that about Vijay Singh? Singh, yeah, he's a good golfer.
We're gonna go with Matthew Wolf.
Okay, I can already tell you we probably won't have enough money to make that lineup, but I will try.
Is that my last one?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So you got Brooks Koepka, Jazz Wakanda Forever,
yep.
Louis Oosthuizen, Xander Schauffele, Vijay Singh, and Matthew Wolf.
Yeah.
Hold on. While we're on pronouncing big names, Dom, while you're on Google right now, go in and look. Just Google Clemson's new quarterback. I still cannot pronounce this, by the way.
I'm assuming it's not Trevor Lawrence.
It's
no.
DJ something.
Oh, DJ Uyagagalele?
I'm pretty sure it's like DJ Ugalele or something.
Dude, but the announcers last night, it was very apparent that they said his name like more than they would an average quarterback, because I think they wanted the world to know, hey man, I spent a whole week working on this.
Now, is this dude Hawaiian?
I hope so. He didn't look Italian. Or...
No. Okay, that's going to need to be the clip that goes on Instagram. Is this guy Hawaiian? I hope so, because he does look Italian.
He did, in my defense, he did not look Italian. So just in my defense.
Do you want Italian food or something right now? Is that why?
I did just cross a whole frozen pizza today. So, yeah. Maybe I do want Italian food. But, he did not look Hawaiian. Speaking of Hawaiian things, Ben mentioned, dude, that burger that you were talking about the other day.
Oh yeah, that Morgan's dad made.
Yeah, dude. Okay, dude. So what was? Explain this burger to me, because I want to understand this.
So 4th of July.
Yeah,
I went over to Morgan's parents' house. They invited me over, and her dad made burgers. So the bun of the burger was a Hawaiian roll that was like buttered, toasted on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
The meat, I don't know what was in the meat, but the burger itself was like that thick.
Ooh.
It was a thick boy.
It had some pepper jack cheese on it that was like it was unlike any other pepper jack cheese I've ever had in my life.
I'm usually not a pepper jack cheese guy when it comes to burgers. Yeah.
It was very creamy, very delicious.
Yeah.
Not too spicy, just the right amount of spice.
Nice.
So what set it over the top was this pineapple that was grilled that was on it. And I'm pretty sure it had some like teriyaki glaze on it too.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible.
Listen. What are your guys' thoughts on a pineapple on a burger? Seems foreign. Seems like something I wouldn't be used to.
I've had it before.
I can confirm that it's very good.
It's Don, good. What do you think?
Good, a little salty sweet action going on.
Hmm.
Pretty good.
Interesting. All right, maybe I'll look into it.
Weirdest burger I've ever had, though.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of Archer's?
Yeah.
Yeah, the place in Dayton.
Yeah, so they have a burger that has peanut butter on it.
I've heard of that.
Anybody who's listening to this right now, Gordo's has a place like this too. Who's anybody Xavier related? Gordo's has a place. Continue, Ben.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Makes like, no sense.
I'm not going to say it's bad.
Yeah.
Because it didn't.
Wait, did you order it?
Yeah, yeah. I was intrigued, so of course. It wasn't bad, but it just the texture of it.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It just seems like unnecessary.
Yeah, like the flavor wasn't bad at all. But the when it's in your mouth, not the best experience.
How was the mouth feel?
It's not a good mouth feel.
How was the umami?
I was going to say, well, because then you got like, if the burger isn't like perfect, because then like you got the crumbly meat plus like the creamy butter going on. It's a weird texture battle.
It is. Like I said, the flavor was good.
Yeah.
But you just because some bites you had too much peanut butter.
Ooh.
And then it was just like this. You had chunks of meat and peanut butter mixing together, and it
just doesn't seem right.
Like a necessary thing. Like you can, I feel like you can operate a successful burger place without that. You know.
Hey, I'm glad I tried it though. It was it was an experience.
We got to get Max to try that. Max, he wrote the power ranking burgers in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Have you guys ever had a burger where the cheese is on the inside?
Yes. It's actually real good. I'm a fan.
It is.
Yeah.
Until you burn your mouth.
Mm.
Yep. Yeah, that stuff's good. All right, well, you guys got anything else?
Any closing statements?
Yeah, I was going to say, Dom, how about Dom, do you want to take us out? Any closing remarks?
You'll hear from me again in about a few weeks to see whether or not I fit in some pants. And then if not, we're going to have a Blazing Challenge special.
You have to come back on and do. Yeah, you have to come back on for those.
I low-key want to not make it, just so, or even if I do make it, I still want to just do the challenge, just because I want to be
better. And I feel like we should say this. This is just meaning Dom's not going to be a regular component of the Broken Anchor anymore.
Right.
This for sure won't be his last time we see him ever.
Yeah.
Like, he's guaranteed to be on a podcast at some point in the future.
Yeah, when LeVar Ball shows up again from his cave after LaMelo gets drafted.
But yeah, this isn't like Dom is leaving the Broken Anchor forever and we're never seeing him again.
Correct. Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Just the audience won't see me, you know. That's all it is.
Right.
Just for a little while.
Just for a little while, yeah. And go get your life together. Yeah. Go get everything organized.
It's not a goodbye, it's a see you later.
Should we go find a yearbook or something? Like, go sign the yearbooks for some reason?
Jesus. Yeah, but, okay, listen up. People we still keep in contact with in high school.
Us.
Yeah, here we are. I was going to say, yeah, us and more. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, that's the show. Dom, we appreciate having you. I'll talk about you a little bit more on Morning Coffee tomorrow, but outside of that, yeah, let's go have the best week of all time.
Hell yeah.